back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He deflects it by Antiniemi! And the Flyers have some magic left as they win it in overtime!
Voracek cutting on in! Voracek to the middle of the shot! He scores!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
Seymour Gagné!
That's what the people came to see!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major Radio. Dave here, along with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going?
It's going well. Like we were just talking about before we started recording here, it's been a hell of a day for both of us on multiple fronts. But it was kind of nice to sit down and watch the Flyers, and then things went awry for a while. But they're not doing too bad right now. We are recording this live during their game against the Islanders tonight on Thursday. It's 2-1 Islanders after the first period. We have some unpacking to do for this game, but before we get to this game right now, we have some unpacking to do for more negatives for the Flyers, as seems to be the recurring theme for this season. But when's the last time we talked here? Shootout loss against the Islanders, right? Or no?
Last time we talked was
They lose to Buffalo 6-1.
Yeah, we talked last Thursday.
So all right, so
on April 1st. So we addressed that.
That's right.
Shitty You're Buffalo right. loss. So we only have to talk about the month of April so far. So we have a shootout loss, an overtime victory, and then a collapse yet again from a Tuesday night to talk about. So
yeah, it's straight up not fun at this point in many aspects. The Flyers are on the outside looking in, looking at the standings here. They are 5 points behind the Boston Bruins for that last playoff spot in the East Division. They're tied with the New York Rangers as of right now at 7:55 on Thursday, April 8th. Boston also has 2 games in hand, playing 2 less games than the Flyers and the Rangers.
And they have 6 games to play against the Buffalo Sabres, so the Flyers aren't catching them.
So it's not looking great. Hasn't been looking great ever since the Ides of March, where this Flyers team just went for a complete tailspin. And it's, again, we've mentioned it before, where you never know what you're going to get with this team night in and night out, where, again, there seems to be no ability to build on any momentum from a win the night before, 2 nights before, even with a couple of days off here and there. They really can't seem to string together anything. And they're kind of all but out of time, I think, with, what, less than 20 games left at this point?
Mm-hmm.
So
I've got the schedule, but I can count it. So if you include tonight,
yeah,
they have 1. 2,
so this would be their 39th game tonight.
Well,
We're obviously math guys here.
They have 18 more games to play if you include tonight's game.
Gotcha. So yeah, who the hell knows at this point? Honestly, like, I know it's like we said we were along for the ride at positive points in this season, but we really are just along for the ride at this point, where you don't even know what's going to happen with this team. Obviously, the trade deadline is coming up on Monday, the 12th. We'll touch on that briefly. But again, the way that this organization is right now, the way that they have been, is complacent is probably the best term to use, where there's really no sense of urgency. There's no sense to kind of like immediately get better, even though the window this team is open to be a contender, hopefully, and to win a Stanley Cup in these next 5-6 years, maybe. But this is kind of the first time where I've kind of really just kind of been lost with where this team can go, because we know where it can go if they don't make any moves at the deadline, where I guess you can call this season lost at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's a miraculous stretch that they go, they win, what? They probably have to win at least 11 of their last 19 games to more even have a chance. But again, it's also other teams in the division have to completely crap the bed as well. So, like, I'm not expecting them to make the playoffs at this point, especially after the month that they had last month in March, where, again, they went just completely self-destruct mode. And it's tough, man. Even, I guess, that Bruins game, that was, again, another – it just seems to be gut punch after gut punch loss, where they have that exciting win on Monday night, which there was a silver lining for me personally. Story time here quick, but I went to the Phillies game on Monday night at the ballpark, the first live sporting event I've been to in over a year.
And you were on TV.
And I was on TV. Free t-shirt that night too. The Phillies with a 5-run eighth inning, win the game, obviously. Great experience. And then also, Dave, we were texting each other, and I did stream the Flyers on my phone at the Phillies game. So hashtag sports, and it was a great night. The Flyers won an OT against the Bruins in Boston. Obviously a big win. Phillies win. But again, the next night in Philadelphia, just again, it's just a complete gut punch. The Flyers, it's what, 2-2? The Flyers go on the power play with like less than 5 minutes left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And who else but Brad Marchand scores a shorthanded goal and just completely sinks the Flyers.
Oh, yeah, and a game where he slew-foots Oscar Lindblom and then flexes on him. Like,
yeah,
get the fuck out of here, you clown. Like, I try and limit my F-bombs, but Brad Marchand deserves a big old good glass of fuck you. And, of course, no ruling whatsoever on from Department of Player Safety on it. It's a complete clown move, yeah. And I hope, pending whatever happens to Sam Moran, because he was kicked out of tonight's Flyers game, which I'm sure we were going to touch on later. But yeah. If Sam Moran is playing Saturday, I hope he jumps Marchand and just beats the ever-living shit out of him. Like, I don't care if it's legal, dirty. I don't care. Like, someone needs to beat the piss out of him. And if no one does, it's a problem. But last night, Matt, you were touching on it, was just one of those games. That second period, or not last night, Tuesday night, that second period they played was probably the best 20 minutes of hockey we've seen them play this entire season.
Yeah.
They were phenomenal. They were playing to the level that they were playing at last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Holy shit. Maybe that win last night turned the corner. And then you come out in that third period and you only get 4 shots on net.
Yeah.
And you waste another like Carter Hart, since returning, he returned back in that game on Saturday night in that shootout loss against the Islanders. But he looked confident and he looked like Carter Hart. And you wasted a good goaltending performance again from him this season.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it was the absolute gut punch. Like, after that second period, Susan, I was like, oh, great. This team learned. They came back, you know, they're ready to turn the corner again. And they just said, oh, well, LOL, JK, you know, we're not ready. And it's just, and what do the Flyers do again after in response? No moves, no nothing. And they tweet a bunch of gritty videos again. Like, I love gritty, but I'm tired of the organization and Comcast hiding behind him.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable. You need to actually show up and do what you're doing. Now, there have been trades recently.
Mm-hmm.
In the past couple of days here.
The ice cream man is, sorry if you hear the ice cream man in the background. He's rolling by my house.
It's fine. He was rolling by my grandparents' house earlier as I was leaving. So I'm surprised he's down there to your neck of the woods. Finally, but back to hockey. It's one game after another where you think they can finally do it and they just don't. And there's been trades recently. And I saw a lot of the fan base today was like, well, Chuck, do something, make a trade. And like the one trade today that I saw between Florida and Chicago, which we'll go into an in-depth around the league,
yeah,
isn't the type of trade you want Chuck Fletcher making.
Mm-hmm.
But even the trade that we saw between the Islanders and the Devils, which is a little fishy to me, something doesn't seem that the return does not equal the value that the Devils gave up. And I've got thoughts on that. I think there could be some collusion going on because it's Lou Lamoriello and one of his teams that he used to run. The return doesn't equal the trade there, but it's not a trade that you maybe could see the Flyers doing something similar. But after that loss Tuesday night, it just made me realize that this team does not deserve to be a buyer at the deadline for this season. They need to accept the fact that their month of March is the reason why they're not making the playoffs.
Yeah, they need to accept that. I think it's their fault too. Like they literally played themselves out of contention.
It's the entire organization's fault. Mm-hmm. It's Chuck Fletcher's fault for ignoring this team's problems in the offseason. It's Elaine Vigneault, Ian LaPierre, Michelle Therrien, and Mike Yeo for making asinine coaching decisions. And it's the players' fault for not playing to their abilities. It's everyone's fault from ownership on down to the players. You just can't pin it on. You can't just be mad at just the players this year or just the coaches. Mm-hmm. It's everyone's fault. And they need to realize that we're not making the playoffs this year. It's our fault. And Chuck Fletcher needs to realize, you know what? I'm not buying to help this team this year. Like I said with our podcast last week with Mikey, they need to treat this deadline and this offseason like how they handled 06-07. You need to sell, but also need to buy for the future. Bring in a player with term that's going to help you be good next year and years on afterwards. This year is done. Forget about it. Write it off from the history books. And I'm hoping in 5 years' time, we'll just remember this as just a bad season. Yeah. And hopefully next year, it's back to what we saw last year. Mm. But again, how many times have we said that in the past three seasons, Matt?
I mean, obviously this podcast hasn't been around for a decade, but how many times have we said that off the airwaves to each other, to our friends, to saying, like, it's just a bad season, where it's like, there's been 10-plus bad seasons for the most part ever since they went to the Cup Final. Like, it's just crazy that even at, like, how long does it take to build any sort of contending team where, again, we talked about this, we can talk about this ad nauseum, we have talked about this ad nauseum, but it's like the Flyers, again, one guy, they wasted Claude Giroux's his entire career pretty much, and he's not going to win a Stanley Cup. I'm confident in saying this at this point. He's not winning a Stanley Cup with the Flyers, I don't think.
Unless a lot of changes happen like this offseason.
Yeah, like unless a miracle happens in the next one or two seasons,
he's got 2 years left on his deal, so they need to figure it out
for just his sake. He should be traded. Like, I would hope that he would waive his no move clause, get traded to a team, hopefully again be a little bit more like involved with the Cup run than Tiemannin was with the Blackhawks when he won it with them. Because even Tiemannin said, one of my other friends was saying how Tiemannin said that he didn't feel like he was a part of that win because he kind of just, I don't even know how much he played, honestly.
He was a sixth defenseman
who
played very briefly.
Yeah, but so I mean,
they essentially played him enough so that way he would qualify to get his name on the Stanley Cup and get a Cup ring.
Yeah, which is fine, but obviously, again, as an individual, you want to feel like you contributed somehow.
Yes.
And he kind of didn't have that sentiment. But hell, you put Giroux on another team, he can definitely contribute. I mean,
we're seeing it now. He's playing third line minutes as third line center, and he's still putting up almost like, a point per game.
He's literally going to go down as one of the best Philly sports athletes ever. And he may not. It's likely that he might not win a championship in the city. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. I'm not going to compare him to McNabb because I mean McNabb was a good quarterback, but he kind of had like a fall out of grace at points later in his career. But like, I mean, as much as the people have like been on Giroux's case about all this stuff, it's like, dude, the guy is literally he's like first place in multiple categories for the Flyers at this point in franchise history. Like, again, the longest tenured Philly athlete at this point. He's been here since he was number 56 at one point.
He's done nothing to make the entire fan base despise him.
Yeah. But like, none of the fan base should, but again, there's idiots everywhere. So
there's like, people who call him the WIP and the fanatic. They're called idiots.
Yeah, but zooming out from Giroux, what I was gonna say is that what was I gonna say, actually? I had a thought and I kind of just got carried away with Claude Giroux.
Don't we all get carried away with Claude Giroux?
I was gonna say something about the whole team. It was something that I was going to reference, something that Mikey said too. I can't remember now.
Yelling, it's the whole team?
No.
It's the whole team. That's the problem.
I can't put my finger on. Yeah. I mean, it's basically, again, you hope that we've seen the worst of everyone, where, again, like you said, it's an entire organization issue. It's not just the players. It's not just the front office. It's everyone. Where there should be accountability all around here. And I think that if there's no move, if there's not a single sort of transaction made up to and on the trade deadline, then I think that it just shows again that this organization has settled into complacency. And that they're fine with mediocrity. And
if so, they've got the perfect GM for that. They've got Chuck Fletcher, who that's all he did with Minnesota. But so, again, to my point, like we said lastly, that's not why we hired Chuck.
Yeah. So I'm trying to find the video here so I can give proper credit. But I think it might have been, I'm pretty sure it was Nick Kiprios on Sportsnet. Hey, the Flyers just tied the game. Breaking news. But
I got the stream on my second screen and it's like a minute and a half but delayed.
So it was Nick Kiprios. I think it might have been 2 or 3 seasons ago, but I think it was right after Hextall got fired, where he did say, like we've said, the Flyers are run too much like a business.
It was on Tim and Sid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've seen that video before. Yep. It popped up recently,
it's,
too.
They're being
really
run
telling
too much
video.
Like a business and not enough like a hockey team where you're like the – but again, any sort of business has supply and demand, and who wants a supply of bad hockey? No one's going to demand that. Like,
yeah.
People obviously demand good hockey, and I think that this organization, again, they need to kind of basically look themselves in the mirror – as they should be doing every time something goes wrong with this team, and think about what the brand, like literally what the brand Philadelphia Flyers is supposed to represent, what it's supposed to mean. Like I said last week, where I felt like when Wayne Simmonds got traded, that was basically the end of like Ed Snyder's vision of what the Flyers should be, where he even said it was the first time they made the playoffs in, was it their first or second year in the league? He was like, they got bullied, and then they never want to do that again. That was obviously the birth of the Broad Street Bullies.
Yeah, they
obviously
got
hockey
by the Blues.
Yeah.
And they got demolished. And Ed Snyder said that will never happen to this soccer team ever.
Exactly.
Again.
I mean, again.
And the next year, the Broad Street Bullies were born.
Yeah. It's obviously a different era physicality-wise, all that stuff. But, like, again, you should strive to have those same morals in a different way where – If your team constantly sucks, you should strive to not make it suck. But this team, again, somehow still finds ways to shoot itself in the foot, whether it be personnel, like coaching staff, organizations. Like, again, I don't know how involved Dave Scott is at this point because he's obviously kind of just a suit. But still, like, it comes down to actions speak louder than words at this point, where we saw Fletcher's press conference, about a month ago, where he said the mix of players that we have isn't right. And then it's been like radio silence ever since then, where it's like, well, we know that, but what are you going to do about it? And then he's like, oh, it's a tight trade market, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, other teams are making moves. Granted, they're not major moves. But again, like you said,
they're making moves.
They're making moves, and they're possibly doing what the Flyers aren't. and making moves for the future, getting draft picks, all that stuff. Like, but then we're just here like, oh, there's like there hasn't been a lot of calls. It's like, dude, are you serious? So I think, again, I'm going to lose the whole – I think the whole fan base, at least I am. I'm not going to speak for the whole fan base here. The whole educated fan base, I think, will lose a lot of faith in Fletcher if nothing happens.
Oh, I think they already have.
Yeah, but they'll lose more.
No, yeah. I've been doing a lot of thinking here the past couple of days about this season in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I know COVID's getting tossed out as an excuse, and we touched on it last week. Everyone's going through the same shit this season. Like, it sucks. Like, yeah, the world sucks right now.
Yeah.
My big thing is, do you wonder if management is just viewing this year almost as a screw it year where they're going to forget about it and try and move on next season? I could see that partially happening, but also I'm under the belief where I fully haven't given up on some of these players and some of these young players still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little discouraged at what I've seen. And I don't think as highly as some of them as I used to.
I'm a lot of discouraged.
I'm not ready to completely write them off just yet, yeah. Because if we're writing them off, that means we literally wasted the organization and Ron Hextall just wasted our time for 8 years. Because then we had to completely rebuild all over again.
Yep.
So I'm not ready. Like I'm not ready to give up on Travis Konecny and Philip Myers and Travis Sanheim. Do they need to be better next season?
Yeah.
Hell yes, they do. Because if they're this bad again next year, then I'm probably going to write them off. But, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, because you're finally seeing, I think that reset helped Carter because he's at least looked like Carter from last year, even though the wins haven't been there yet for him. You know, they will come. And even though the Flyers probably aren't making the playoffs this year, if they can at least play better hockey and they can end the season strongly, it'll make me feel a little bit better about going into next year.
Mm-hmm.
But Chuck Fletcher needs to make some moves. Like you said, Matt, the trade deadline is coming up on Monday, and the Flyers do have some UFAs that can get you some good value for.
Yeah.
The biggest name you're hearing is Scott Laughton out there. And like Charlie O'Connor mentioned, I saw today on Broad Street Hockey Radio, it's because the Toronto Maple Leafs want to trade for him. So since the Leafs are interested, everyone's talking about it. And it's all over the airwaves because Toronto's talking about it. Scott Laughton, while we love him, and he has even said he wants to remain a Flyer,
mm-hmm.
he can get you probably a first-round pick or a high second-round pick. He could get you some value. And I know players who get traded usually don't sign back with the team who trades them.
Mm-hmm.
But Scotty, my man, if you love it here in Philly so much, go be a rental with the Leafs and then sign back here and keep the value. But then that runs the problem of him going, well, I'm an unrestricted free agent now, so here's my value. And UFAs always get overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's going to happen, I'd rather hold on to him and re-sign him at a lower friendly team deal. But there's other players that, you know, that should not be back here next year that need to get traded out for assets.
Yeah.
That's Michael Roffel. That's Eric Gustafson.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Moran's technically a UFA, but I think he's actually played pretty well where I think he has been a better option on the third pairing than Robert Haig by leaps and bounds.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he's earned maybe a one-year league min deal to see if he can do it again for a full season and come back. But then your other UFA is Brian Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
There are teams out there right now who could use Brian Elliott in net to be a backup or a third-string goalie right now.
Yeah.
So I think you need to – and the Flyers, like I said, they're not making the playoffs this year unless a miracle happens.
Mm-hmm.
I would be fine without – I mean, Alex Lyon's at UFA as well this offseason. So if you really want to find out what you have in Alex Lyon as a backup goalie, as a regular backup goalie, trade Brian Elliott and promote Lyon full-time to backup for the rest of the year and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to trade Brian Elliott. You need to trade Eric Gustafson, and you need to trade Michael Raffel. If a trade comes up for Scott Laughton and it involves a first-round pick, you do it. But yeah. Ideally, personally, I would hold on to him. But the other three, pack your bags, get out of town.
Yeah. See, it's tough because, like, there's – yeah. Aside from – I think the COVID excuse is kind of, like – hollow.
It's boring.
It's hot. Well, it's hollow at this point. Where again, like you said, everyone's going through it. Everyone's teams are obviously making it work, and like the Flyers aren't the Flyers aren't the only ones that are like. Again, I understand that it can take a mental toll more than anything, but like the Flyers aren't the only ones that are kind of, for lack of better terms, complaining that like they can't hang out with each other on the like on the road like. I was just I've been getting into Missing Curfew more, and they just talked about the Sabres in the latest episode that I'm listening to with Hartnell, and like, I mean, think about how bad it is for them, where they like they're on the road on this 18 game losing streak, and they can't even go out for beers or anything like that. I mean, yeah, it makes it I think it's more of a mental thing than anything else, and obviously the mental can affect the physical, but. That excuse, again, I think is a little bit hollow, where every team is going through the same thing. They're making it work. They're doing what they can to keep loose and all that jazz. What are you going to say?
I'm just saying I agree with you. Oh, you know, yeah. It's just lame. It's boring. Like every time I hear Chuck Fletcher, AV, say that, well, because of COVID, I don't care. And every team is going through this.
Yeah, and I think, too, the flat cap also, you can't really – that's a little bit hollow at this point where, again, we've seen other teams making moves. Regardless, again, they're not blockbuster trades. The biggest trade this year, I think, has been, what, the Line A and PLD trade. But
it really hasn't worked out for either team there.
I was going to say, yeah. And it's just crazy because I would almost, even if they, like, if Fletcher doesn't make any moves for the deadline, I would almost rather him come out now and say that, say what you said, where it's like, we're writing this season off. Obviously, it didn't work out. It's a failure of a season in my eyes because there was so much potential coming into the season after what we saw in the bubble and glimpses of what we saw in the playoffs last year. But it's like, this is obviously, regardless of how bad you do during the regular season, missing the playoffs is a failure of the season. You can even consider not winning the Stanley Cup a failure of a season if you have that mentality. Mm-hmm. But I would almost rather have, that's what I'm trying to say, Fletcher come out and say exactly what you said, where it's like, we've hopefully seen the worst in everyone when it comes to players. We're taking notes. We have a plan. Like, even if it's like Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's like, how much of a plan do you have? I have 12% of a plan. Like, hell, you have more than 0% of a plan. That's cool. Like, at least you have something. But again, I think the fan base deserves – we deserve answers at this point of what this team wants to do and where they want to go from this point. Where, again, I think we have Gustafson on a one-year deal. He'll be gone, I'm assuming, after this season. So that's, what, $3 million off the cap?
It's $3 million off the books. You need to trade him this deadline. I don't – move hell on earth. I don't care if you get a seventh-round pick for Eric Gustafson. Get him off of this team now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guess, like, even if they don't get a player back, just that cap space is obviously is the gold at this point. We're going to lose someone to the Kraken, and that'll be some – I don't know who, obviously, yet, but that'll be some more cap off the books.
I can tell you, I don't think it's going to be Voracek. He makes – here's the problem. Voracek makes way too much money. Mm-hmm. And if you're, even though he did score tonight, he actually decided to shoot the puck off a feed from Giroux. I saw the feed. It was a very nice goal.
Yeah, it was a nice goal.
Even though if he's playing well, if you believe in analytics, because I know hockey is divided. You're either a believer in analytics or you're not a believer in analytics. I'm like, I'm in the middle. I can see both sides. But if you are a believer in analytics, Jake Voracek's numbers are not good. And they haven't been good for 3+ years now. Yeah. And he's on the wrong side of 30, making north of $8 million.
Yep.
Seattle is staying far, far away from that as possible.
Yeah.
So I think if you're the Flyers, if you're Chuck Fletcher, and you really want to shake up this team and make some moves, you find a way to trade Jake Voracek, because that is a big move. Another player I think we're seeing gone because of they already waived him this year is Shane Gostisbehere.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
And even in that case, they tried to move him last year, but apparently no one wanted to take him for equal fair value. It was something where the Flyers would have to pay more for another team to take on him and his salary. Yeah. The Flyers were comfortable in doing that, but I think he's gone this offseason. And that's 4.5 off your books for the next two seasons if he's gone after this season. So that's some salary cap relief. Because they do have some key players that they re-sign, but I really think that this offseason, you know, if Chuck Fletcher, Matt, came out and said what you said, you know, it would be cool if he did say where he said, you know what, we're going to stay pat, where this year was a failure, where there's going to be big changes in the offseason, but we're not doing anything at this deadline, he would earn respect with me. You're getting honesty. And he's saying, hey, listen, I have a plan. I know this year sucked because it sucked for you. It didn't suck for you guys. It sucked for me too. But we're going, this was unacceptable, and we're going to be better.
Yeah. Because
you didn't hear that with Ron Hextall. You didn't. The last time you heard a GM say anything really close to that was Paul Holmgren. And when Paul Holmgren said he was going to do something, I believed him because he went out and did stuff.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting offseason and an interesting trade deadline for sure. I mean, I hope it's interesting. I'm hearing rumblings it's going to be boring because of the flat cap.
Well, I think, it's also where obviously it's a year unlike any other with the different division alignments, the COVID stuff. We've seen what's going on in Vancouver, which is crazy. And obviously we hope
their season's probably over.
I hope everyone's healthy. They have just a quick thing for everyone. So there's 25 members of the organization that have tested positive for COVID over the past, I think, week and a half. And it's been confirmed that it is a variant. So I think it's the one from the UK, I think, is the main variant at this point. But we hope everyone in that organization that has tested positive is doing all right, but it doesn't sound like they're doing too well.
I've heard some players have had to get IV drips sent to their house. Like, it's not going well.
But yeah, it's crazy what's going on there. Obviously, again, we wish everyone good health. But back to the Flyers. What was I going to say? Oh, the trade deadline. Like I said, I think if there's some just reassurance, or if there's an affirmation by Fletcher, like we've been saying so far tonight, that this season has been a failure, it was unacceptable by everyone and even if he takes personal accountability by saying, like, he failed to address the Niskanen situation, although, again, this is what I was going to say. I think Mikey said this last week, or someone tweeted it, where it's like the fact that you didn't address one player missing from your team should not and can't throw off an entire like organization's performance. Where it's like, even without Niskanen, the Flyers should not have been this bad this season. I think, again, if there's personal accountability taken by Chuck, we're on a first name basis, but taken by Fletcher, even if the coaching staff comes out and takes a personal accountability, like if Vigneault, like at the end of the season, they do those exit interviews, obviously, where he's like, you know what, like, I worked with what I had. Obviously, I could have, I don't know how much better you can
do.
I don't
think that's happening.
Yeah, I'm just in a perfect world, I guess.
You've heard AV, if I could put my finger on the problem, I would. Well, you're the head fucking coach. You should be able to put your finger on the goddamn problem.
I guess it comes down to Fletcher and the players, where if there's some sort of thing that can kind of quell the dumpster fire that's going on right now within this organization, it'll make people feel a little better. But again, I think I would be somewhat happy even if, again, Fletcher just came out and said this season is an unacceptable for this organization and I will do whatever I can this offseason to, like, remedy the problems.
I think they're in there needs to be, you know, it's we're kind of going drifting here into like our off-season plans. But from my
that's kind of all we can do at this point.
Well, yeah. Or else we're going to say the same shit every week.
Yeah.
Me personally, there needs to be players moved in. There need to be changes. There need to be trades brought in. But they're also, Chuck Pletcher not only needs to tell the players it was an unacceptable year, he needs to tell that to his coaching staff. He needs to tell Delaney Vigneault. He needs to fire Michelle Therrien, Mike Yeo, and Ian LaPierre, and even get a new, maybe even a new goaltending coach.
Yeah.
Like, wait, make a wake-up call to AV saying, okay, you're staying here, but I have fired the rest of your staff. Now go hire replacements and fix it. Because we have learned as a fan base, at least we've seen it, and to our standards, the combination of Kim Dillenbach and Ian LaPierre and Michelle Therrien and Mike Yeo has not worked. It's not been good. So they need to figure that out.
Yeah.
So the way I'm seeing this offseason plan for Chuck, you need to go ahead, you need to make some trades. You need to go ahead. You need to find a way to get rid of Jake Voracek. I mean, I own a Voracek sweater. I think I love it how he tells the fans how it is on and off the ice. He does score big goals every once in a while. I like him as a player, and I thank him for everything he's done for this franchise because he has had some pretty big moments. But you need the cap relief, and he's just declining at a rate that's just you can no longer hold on to him.
Yeah.
So you need to get rid of the coaching staff besides AV. You need to get rid of Jake Voracek. You unfortunately have to get rid of Shane Gostisbehere. Even though I'm a pro ghost guy, I realize the organization has no faith in him, so why waste his and our time with him?
Yeah.
So you get rid of him and you figure it out. It's a big question. The question marks is who do you bring back? Who do you replace with? You know, we're not going to know until it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You did learn this week through rumblings on Twitter that the Ducks have been, it has been known that teams have called inquiring about Josh Manson, who is a player we have all expressed that we would very much like with the Philadelphia Flyers. Anaheim has made it known that they love him.
Derek Grant coming back.
It would take a mountain of a trade deal to get them to move him. They want to hold on to him as long as possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, Josh Manson, ideally, he's just a top four defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even call him a number two. He's a good number three.
Mm-hmm.
How much are you willing to pay for that? So, they need to definitely go out and they need to address this defense. That's one of the big things. Like, you've learned that Robert Hägg is at best a 6'7". You can't depend on him for anything more than that. And you've also, you know, we've reluctantly learned, like, I'm personally not ready to give up on Ivan Provorov.
Yeah.
I still think he could become a true number one defenseman, but he hasn't shown that yet.
He still needs help.
And you need to bring out a guy where you can go, he's a number one. And Proby's number two. And if then Proby then elevates his play and goes, no, I'm a number one, then you're really set. So they need to fix the defense. They got to address his coaching staff. And they got to move Jake Voracek. That's kind of my big offseason plan.
Yeah.
It's what I do whenever I do be a GMO with the Philadelphia Flyers on NHL 21. One of the first trades I always look to make in an offseason is I unload Jake Voracek at the draft just because I need the salary cap space and I know, and he's on the wrong side of 30. Even in NHL 21, he's a declining player. So get him out of town. I hold on for JVR for like one more season and then I trade him out too. But ideally you're hoping Seattle takes JVR. I don't know if they're going to, but again, we don't know who's going to be protected and unprotected.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of what ifs and buts and
bouts. Yeah, and I was going to say even the guys that aren't protected, like obviously only one of them is getting picked to get drafted. So it's like that'll obviously make it a little awkward for the player and the organization's relationship where it's like you left me out to dry.
It should be used as a wake-up call.
That's true.
We left you unprotected because we don't We were okay with losing you, so you need to be better.
Yeah, I'm with that. Yeah, I mean,
and
I think
the Wave, ever since Ghost got waived, he came back, and he's played with a fire under his ass.
Yeah,
like his goal again that Bruins game was vintage Ghost. Like he's played really well. Yeah. So I think the message was delivered.
Yeah.
At least to Ghost, maybe not to the whole team, but to Ghost it was.
I guess if anything does happen in the trade deadline, I'll say two things here where I don't need to be like thrown off my rocker by a move, but I would like to be pleasantly surprised by something at least.
So you're not looking for a Richards Carter offseason. That's what you're saying.
Well, no, I mean offseason maybe. I'm saying trade deadline.
Okay.
Where it's like between now and Monday, like I would like to go on Twitter and see something and be like, well, that's cool. It would be cool to have my socks blown off by like some monster deal between like three teams and the Flyers get like the best end of it somehow. But I'm not expecting that. I don't think it's going to happen. But again, there's a degree that I just want to be like semi like satiated with all that we've talked about of like possible rumblings with players moving around the league and all that stuff where it's like I just want something to happen. But hell, make the off season big. I don't care because again, if you're going to try and offload some cap space or some dead weight in players' contracts and all that jazz, like go for it because this team, again, like I said, and like we've said before, this team's window, I think, is open. They can be so much better than what we've seen this season. And I miss February and early March of last season when this
even
team
the
was
bubble
just,
last year
was just
that.
An absolute juggernaut where it was
the bubble up until. Like game six, the Montreal series.
Yep. Yeah. Hell, make every game like the round robin and I'd be a happy camper. But
I can tell you one move I know that I don't want the Flyers making. And this is gonna be very unpopular in Flyers Twitter.
Oh.
Do not trade for Johnny Gaudreau. The dude is not good anymore. Unless he really does need a change of scenery, do not trade for him. I've watched some Calgary Flames games and he ain't got it anymore, fam. It's not good.
Yeah.
it's really not good. Unless maybe him coming to the Origin Black would be the wake up call for him, but
yeah.
Based on his play this year, fam. It's a no for me.
I mean,
if it happened, I would accept it.
Yeah.
But me personally right now, and what Flames games I've watched, because I have stayed up to watch other hockey games this year, because I like to be on the know, as they say. Stay away. Like keep a 10-foot like poker stick in between you. Be like, you can't get back. Like, no.
Yeah.
I know that's going to be very when people hear that, it's people be like, really, Dave? Really? Because if you asked me even last year, 2 years ago, I'd be like, bring him home. South Jersey boy needs to come back home. And now I'm going,
Yeah, I hope it'll be interesting these next 4 days up until the deadline. Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern is the actual trade deadline. When you have to submit your trades by, but we do see some come out after that just because they haven't been fully processed yet, but
the fax machines were a little behind.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that's kind of all I've got at this point for the Flyers. The second period did just end on or in Long Island, whatever you want to call it, however you say it. The Flyers and Islanders are tied at 2 goals apiece going into the third period.
Big third period game. We'll see if this team has any sort of
backbone and can kind of put this one away somehow. I probably just jinxed them, so thank you, me. But it just about does it, I think, for us, for the Flyers. Just looking ahead at their schedule here quick before we move on to our next part of the show here. If I can get my app to work. There we go.
I've got it up.
So we have a Saturday matinee game against the Boston Bruins in the Wells Fargo Center at 2 o'clock, and then a back-to-back this weekend, actually. We have 2 o'clock against the Bruins on Saturday, and then 2 o'clock against the Buffalo Sabres on Sunday, both at the Wells Fargo Center, and then a trip to Washington on Tuesday after the trade deadline, and then a trip to Pittsburgh on Thursday, and then rounding out next week with a game against the Washington Capitals on Saturday, 12:30. So I don't even want to say it doesn't get any easier, obviously, but again, I'm just kind of here for the ride at this point, just to see. Hopefully the Flyers can put together some sort of string of efforts in a continuous fashion, but who the hell knows at this point?
All I want is for the rest of the year out. Like, this is the last time they play. I think they play the Islanders for this entire season. Yeah. All I want for the rest of the season is just beat the teams that you're better than. You're playing the rest of your division like you've been playing all year, but your last time you see the Bruins is Saturday. So that means you're playing the Capitals, the Penguins, the Rangers, and Devils for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
All I want is just victories all against the Devils. I was wrong. They do play the Islanders again on the 18th. So all I want is just, for the love of God, just beat Pittsburgh on the 15th, get some revenge against the Rangers, and just squash the Devils just to make me happy. Like, That's all I care about. I just want to watch good hockey. That's all like we touched on last week with Mikey. I want to watch the Flyers and feel entertained and know that, okay, even though they don't make the playoffs this year, like I said earlier tonight, that I'm going to feel better going into next year.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, we've said this before. I'll say it again. There's a difference between being bad and being unentertaining, where I can deal with the Flyers being competitive and then losing by a goal here and there, but it's like when you're losing 6-1 on a regular sort of basis, that's not even...
You
just want to turn the game off at that point, but obviously us being as diehard as we are, it's like you turn it, you quote unquote turn it off, where like I would put it on my iPad on streaming and then I watch something else on my big screen. But then if they make it interesting somehow, I switch So I mean, but again, you just want to watch good hockey, and it's at the point now where it's like you watch other games around the NHL on TV, and like you're like, wow, like this is what it's like to watch an entertaining hockey game. Like, it's crazy. So who knows at this point? It's been a hell of a ride, to say the least. Obviously, again, a lot more negatives than positives at this point, but we'll kind of see what happens here. And the Flyers, they're down the stretch here. They have until May 10th is their last regular season game, possibly their last game of the season. So we'll just go from here, I guess. But before we do move on to our Around the League news, Dave, I believe we have an ad break.
Yes, that is very true. It's like we have an outline.
Yeah, I mean, hey, got to be prepared somehow, right?
I know, right? All right, and we just can't ramble the whole time. But like Master said, we will be back here at 5-Minute Major Radio in just a little bit. And we are back here at 5-Minute Major Radio. Matt, let's say we go around the league. I don't think there's too much to talk about tonight, right?
No, we'll kind of keep it. So there are a couple significant
trades, like we teased.
Yeah. But there's actually a couple of significant injuries I wanted to touch on here quick before we go into the trade tracker on NHL.com. So it was announced early yesterday, that Columbus Blue Jackets forward Boone Jenner is expected to be out the rest of the regular season with a broken finger. Tortorella was quoted saying, quote, "Jens is done. He's out 5 or 6 weeks now. It's a broken finger, so he's done, which is a huge blow for us." Jenner was injured after being hit in the hand by a shot from a teammate, Patrick Laine, some friendly fire, at 12:32 of the third period of a 4-2 win against the Tampa Bay Lightning on Tuesday night. He's expected to need about 6 weeks to recover, and the Blue Jackets are scheduled to play their final regular season game on May 8th. Jenner has been pretty decent this season. He's got 17 points in 41 games and has scored 240 points in 533 games overall with the Blue Jackets. Obviously, I think he's a valuable player. He was on my fantasy team, but I had to drop him, obviously, because he's out indefinitely. But, Dave, your thoughts on Jenner being out for the rest of the regular season?
It sucks for the Columbus Blue Jackets. He's a good third, fourth liner. He's dependable on the penalty kill. You know, it's a big loss for them, but their season's done anyway. They're not making the playoffs. They're just not that good. Like, outside Werenski and Jones, they don't have enough firepower. They're trying to convert Patrick Laine into a power forward who plays a 200-foot game. That's not Patrick Laine's game. That's not going to work. So, it sucks for Columbus losing Boone Jenner because he's a good player and he's a leader in that room.
Yeah.
But they've got bigger problems than losing Boone Jenner. So.
Yeah, it's tough. And then another tough blow for the Winnipeg Jets. Actually, I guess it's the Jets Blue Jackets connection here. But going up to Winnipeg here, their captain Blake Wheeler is out indefinitely because of concussion-like symptoms. Mm-hmm. He will not travel. Well, has not traveled to. He hasn't traveled with the team for their 5-game road trip, which begins in Montreal tonight. That game is going on now. He was elbowed in the head during a 4-3 win against the Ottawa Senators on Monday.
Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah. Head coach Paul Maurice. I don't know why I said Maurice weird there. But Paul Maurice was quoted on Wednesday saying yesterday, he took the elbow last game, was fine, felt good, started to feel a little off yesterday, and then today started not feeling great. The words concussion, but we don't have a diagnosis on that yet, but we're going to treat it as such because we're obviously really careful with these things. Fun fact, Wheeler was also on my fantasy team, so I had to drop him. I'm working my GM magic a little bit here in the fantasy realm of things. But
yeah, in the last week, like one of the last weeks of fantasy too.
Yeah, but Wheeler this season has 32 points in 39 games for the Jets. They're second in the 7-team North Division, 6 points behind the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have been absolutely on fire lately. Obviously, the top four teams will qualify for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Paul Maurice was also quoted saying it was unknown whether Wheeler will be able to join Winnipeg at any point of the season or any point of the road trip, which ends at Toronto on April 15th. Dave, your thoughts on Blake Wheeler?
This is a huge loss for the Winnipeg Jets. Wheeler's their captain. He's one of their best forwards. He's a huge leader in that room, obviously. It really sucks. You know, they're a player. Wheeler's a player that they depend on night in and night out. But Winnipeg is a good team. They've got the players who can replace them in the lineup. But they don't bring the intangibles. You know, he can score goals, he can fight, he can hit, he can get nasty. Like, he is an all-around, you know, excellent player who wears that C with pride up in Winnipeg. So it's a big, big loss for them. Mm-hmm. And if he can't get back for the playoffs, I think it really hurts their chances at going on a run. But then again, they've got Connor Hellebuck in net. So, if Hellebuck just becomes Jesus, you know, nothing's going to get by him and they'll win that way. So, but offensively speaking, with them, you know, getting rid of Line A to bring in Pierre-Luc Dubois, who doesn't score as many goals as Line A, losing Wheeler hurts big time. So they're going to need, you know, they're going to need Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele to step up big time here.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. And then moving over to our trade tracker, we have some trades that have gone down these past few days. Obviously, we've said again multiple times tonight that the trade deadline is Monday the 12th. But just working backwards here, last week we did touch on the Eric Staal trade from the Sabres to the Montreal Canadiens. But I'll just rattle off the last. There's been four since then. I'll rattle these off quick, Dave. And then at the end of this, I'll just kind of let you give your 2 cents as usual. So we have, on March 27th, the LA Kings acquired forward Brendan Lemieux from the New York Rangers in exchange for fourth-round pick in the upcoming 2021 NHL draft. Then, on March 29th, the LA Kings acquired defenseman Christian Wolinen from the Ottawa Senators in exchange for forward Michael Amadio. On April 2nd, the Blackhawks acquired forward Vinny Hinostroza from the Florida Panthers in exchange for forward Brad Morrison. And most recently, just yesterday, the New York Islanders acquired forwards Kyle Palmieri. Oh, my standby here. My app just refreshed by itself and I lost my page. We're back. The New York Islanders acquired forwards Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from the New Jersey Devils in exchange for forwards A.J. Greer and Mason Jobst. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Sorry, Mason, if I'm butchering your name. They also acquired a first-round pick in the upcoming draft and a fourth-round pick in the 2022 NHL draft. And in case you didn't know as well, both Palmieri and Travis Zajac are suited up currently against the Islanders in their game against Flyers right now. And Lou Lamoriello struck again and made Palmieri shave his beard because I guess the Islanders can't have fun and grow facial hair, which I think is a dumb rule. But anyway, Dave, any of those trades stand out to you?
It's funny with Hinostroza. He's originally a Blackhawk draft pick who they traded away to the Arizona Coyotes. So I had no idea he was on the Panthers this year.
Yeah.
So Chicago bringing back some talent that they traded away. I think that's a nice addition to the Blackhawks. And it shows us a nice little skilled forward. But the big trade that I'm kind of like wondering about is the trade that was made last night, obviously, with the New Jersey Devils and the New York Islanders. And Zajac and Palmieri essentially going to the New York Islanders for a first-round pick, an AHL forward and a prospect. You're getting two top six. You're getting one top six forward and one top nine forward for a first round pick, an AHL power forward and a prospect. Really? Is that enough? I kind of think there's something going on there.
Yeah.
Lou Lamoriello, ex longtime GM of the New York Devils. Might as well be the New York Devils. The New Jersey Devils. I hope I insulted both New York and New Jersey with that statement because screw both of them. The longtime GM of the New Jersey Devils trading with the New York Islanders to make the Islanders better and the Devils worse. I don't know. Sounds like something fishy could be afoot. But no, I mean, if you're looking at hockey sense wise, it's a good move for the Islanders. I mean, you're bringing in kind of some of the element you lost with Anders Lee out for injury. Mm. Zajac's always been a thorn in the Flyers' side. So is Palmieri.
Yeah.
Palmieri is a good little skilled forward. Zajac, you know, he was better in a couple of seasons ago. He's still somewhat decent now. He was a lifelong Devil. Like, I think he just played his 1,000th game this season as a New Jersey Devil. So that's pretty huge. So I could even see him, like, signing there in the offseason. But overall, hockey-wise, even though I think the return's questionable, it's a good trade for the Islanders, and it makes them better. I'm one of those people who's very critical of the Islanders. I don't think they have that good of a team on paper, but they get the results every night because they have excellent goaltending and Barry Trotz just had the touch of, he has a touch of gold. So, it makes the Islanders better and, you know, that we're probably going to see them go far in the playoffs yet again, which is frustrating, but it's probably going to happen. So,
we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. And then to end the night, we will end on a positive since we don't know the outcome of the Flyers game yet as we're recording this. But some more good news on the Henrik Lundqvist front. He sat down with Kevin Weeks from NHL Network the other day, and they discussed about his progress to return to the NHL and just about his desire to be back on the ice. Yeah, great interview. Definitely worth the watch and the listen. But the article on NHL.com just says he hopes to resume playing in the NHL after recovering from his open heart surgery, but the goalie's future will depend on his next examination later this month. Lundqvist was quoted saying, "I love it. I want to compete, and it's going to come down to testing and conversations with the doctors. It's coming up, so we're getting close to that point. And until then, I just keep grinding, and then we shall see what happens." It's just, again, one of those things where it's obviously very good seeing him recover as a human being, but also, again, one of the most well-respected, one of the, I guess, do you say he's one of the best goalies ever?
Yes.
All right.
Even though he hasn't won a Stanley Cup, he's done enough internationally where he, in his stats with the Rangers, he is, and he's up there in wins. He is one of the best goalies to ever play the sport.
So just again, the human side of it, it's good to see him healthy after such a major surgery and a major issue being fixed. And then he obviously did sign that 1-year deal with the Capitals back in, was it October? Was it the free agency?
Yeah, it was late
fall. Back whenever free agency was this past go around, since obviously the hockey calendar has been so messed up because of COVID, but a member of the Washington Capitals, great setup pads wise, if you haven't seen it yet. But we did see him on the ice a few weeks ago, actually, when we touched on him last time, which is obviously good to see again. But just again, wishing the best for Lundqvist. Hopefully, we do see him back on the ice. If he does play the Flyers, maybe he gives up more goals than than Carter Hart does, obviously, which would be good. But again, just to see a guy like him on the ice and be a part of the sport still is a great thing.
Yeah, I bet the Capitals would like him back because they have, their goaltending has been questionable this season. Yeah. So. But all the best to Hank. It's good that he's back on the right track. He's back on the ice regularly, and I mean, he just looked as good as he always looks in the interview, like dressed to the nines with his boy Kevin Weeks. So.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Glad that he's back on the right track there.
Well said. And then with that, Dave, that does it for me tonight around the league. I think we can wrap this up for this week, where we kind of have the calm before the potential storm here with the trade deadline, and the third period is about to start with the Flyers. So we'll get to that so we can watch the end of this game and see again what the hell happens with this team. But that does it for me tonight. And then Dave, as usual, take us home.
Yeah. Let's hope, there is still some. If the Flyers were to make a playoff push, they would need to win tonight, and they'd have to beat the Bruins on Saturday. Yeah. So if those two things happen, the season's not over quite just yet, even though I think it already is. But let's just hope, the third period is underway here against the Islanders, tied 2-2. So let's hope the Flyers can pull out this dub, because, again, you're playing division rival.
Mm.
Screw New York. Let's just go Flyers. And like we said earlier, we just want good hockey to watch. That's all we really want. And the Phantoms are awesome. Cam York is, I think, playing his first pro game tonight with the Phantoms, so that's kind of huge.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are looking really good down with the Phantoms, so that's always excellent news to hear and see. So, hopefully the Flyers can get back on track here, and they can at least give us, even if they don't make the playoffs, they play some good hockey. And also, for our sake as being podcasters, hopefully we can have some more fun.
Just give us something good to talk about.
Because we're saying the same things every week, and it's like, well, I woke up and it's Groundhog Day yet again.
Yep.
So, for our sake, Flyers, please, if you're listening, just start playing better hockey.
Yeah.
But with that, thank you to everyone, as always, for your listens and your subscriptions. It's greatly appreciated. We will be back next week, post-trade line, with potentially a returning guest. So we will keep everyone informed with that, but we'll leave a little teaser for now. But with that, everyone have a safe weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, get vaccinated if you can. I am now #  fully vaccinated. Mastro's got his first dose, so we're on the up and up.
Oh, yeah.
But everyone, it's getting Moderna gang over here. But things are getting better. It's getting nice outside, a gorgeous day today. Be a nice weekend. Everyone have fun, stay safe, enjoy, and let's go Flyers.